now recording. Coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the smooth sounds of Sammy B and the Clark at Night. Of course, this is brought to you by Black Horizon. Black Horizon Brewery. They make beer. Anywho, we hope you enjoy the smooth beer and smooth sounds of weird jazz that we're going to tell you all about, like Wolfpack and other stuff.
Are we going to listen to Wolfpack? Because I'm into that. That was, you know how hard it was to not laugh?
I'm impressed.
That was awesome. Played. Can you do that at the start of every race?
I don't know. That's at the. What a vibe that would be to be like. All right, hold on. Got to get back into the queue.
Hello.
No, not there yet. it was possessed. I don't know if I can do it again.
It's Wednesday nights on GLSR, The Drive. We're gonna do 200 laps around Bristol, Tennessee. That it isn't. It isn't Tennessee. It's just.
I don't even. I'm Canadian. I don't know where Bristol is.
You wouldn't even
is.
Know it anyway.
I wouldn't. No.
Oh, sorry.
It's. Is it Illinois?
Bristol.
I'm gonna have to fucking.
Oh my
Google
god.
Because I don't know. Georgia.
No, it's
maybe.
It's in Western Tennessee. No, Eastern.
Oh, is it?
Sorry.
I thought you were lying to me.
Why would I do such a thing?
Oh, okay. I don't know. Just to confuse the poor Canadian who doesn't know
where things are. Oh, yeah, poor Canuck. All right. Hi. You're listening to Just Here for the GLSR. It's a rotating cast of characters. Last week, you were treated to Chris Scala and Sean Peachin, and they told you all about the drama, the fireworks, the pain, the joy that was Daytona. And now I've recovered from, mostly recovered from my bout of COVID-19, what's crazy is I fully vaccinated and boosted, and it still sucked. So, which was a real bummer, because I definitely didn't drive at my full mental capacity for Homestead, Miami, but I did all right. I hung around in the top 15 most race until we did the old DUR I've got a clever name for it somewhere, the DUR clusterfuck, where for two races in a row all four Down Under Racing drivers have suffered pretty significant damage together. So let me introduce.
Well, you didn't wreck each other. I watched. You didn't wreck each other. You just kind of got involved in some other nonsense all at the same time.
No, it was before I get any further, I got to introduce the legend that is Jason Clark, former Race Control, always a wild time, our favorite Canadian around. Sorry, other Canadians. So we've got Jason on the show. It's going to be us two having a fun time, and we're just going to kind of wait, hold on. I've got it somewhere. We're keeping it loose and easy tonight on GLSR.
Every time you do that, instant stank face. Do you know what I'm talking about? That like scrunched up yes face. That's instantaneous.
I'm glad I can provide that for you.
Just instant.
You know, I did not even check to make sure I've got this recording to the microphone I want it to. Hopefully I do.
Well, good. We could do that all again.
Well, we're going to roll with it. And if it sounds really bad, then it sounds really bad. And oh, well. But it'll probably be fine. Back to the race. It was Homestead, Miami is, I might be going out on a limb with saying this. It might be my favorite oval track at this point. I think it, and I don't want to talk too much about like the setup of the track because they did that last episode, but I guess I just wanted to get my two cents in on it is that I just love the setup of it. I think it is one of my favorite ovals and puts on some of the best racing and some of the most clean racing, which was why it was kind of a disappointment that the old adage of cautions breed cautions really came true because we had, well, we were past the halfway point by a bit. I can't remember the exact lap where
I think Scala said it. I think we did 172 total green flag laps at Homestead at Miami.
I mean, it was only including the last race. I was about to say, it was like that doesn't math.
Yeah, if you include the 120 we did before that without a caution.
Yeah, so it's one of our most, like, it does not matter how many trucks you pile on it. You can usually get good racing because both lines can be run really effectively and comfortably. And we were seeing that and it was great amount of fun and great racing. There's funny cause there were some incidents that were very, very close that could have brought out cautions. I know I had a really close incident with one of the TIX drivers. I want to say was the 8 truck. I think it was, can't remember his name right off the top of my head. I like Drayton. I apologize. I'm still trying to piece it all together. But like there were some close calls where people got like a little squirrely and loose, but that's what I love so much about this track is you can actually get to race each other and there's space to race, which was why it was such a shame when that first caution came out. And the more cautions come out, the more that wild strategies can start working and you've got speed differentials going on. And really that was what kind of caused issues later in the race. Now I can't remember when did you made it to the end of the race, right? Like green flag all the way. You didn't. I'm trying to remember.
Yes, I did. I finished way in the back though. I think I was a lap down. Maybe I finished 25th or 26th. I gambled on there being another caution. Mm. So I finished with a set of tires left over. And when we came back out, I lost all talent and just couldn't drive on the old tires. Just fell further and further back. But I also had a little damage from, and I'll apologize to Tuckness again for just kind of running over him. Going into 2 after the restart, I think it was right 3 laps after the first caution, I brought out the second caution.
You hung around for quite a while up front. Like
I was up in the top 15 for the first 52 laps, and then it all went south.
You know, what's crazy is like, I will admit, Drayton Cook who I tried to close the door on him going into 2 and I apparently didn't leave enough room and he just got to my bumper a little bit and I don't know how I didn't spin, but I kept it together. No, like I feel like there was so much, enthusiasm and pent up, like wanting to do well after how Daytona was a bit all over the place that a lot of guys put in a lot of laps of practice. And I feel like it really, there were guys who I saw a bunch of during the week practicing who were hanging up around front a lot of the time, you being one of the ones included. Now, what will be interesting to see is how that corresponds to Bristol. We'll get to there. But yeah, overall, this was a kind of a race of two halves. You had the first half of it, which was classic Homestead where you were just seeing all the different grooves working, who was doing good at tire management, and really was shaping up to be a classic. And it just, the cautions kept coming out where guys were on different tire strategies and trying to hold Goff guys who had fresh tires and not being patient or not giving room or just getting loose. And it's hard just because the further you get into those runs, the more wild strategies you can try. I know that for Down Under Racing, we felt that at least the back half of Down Under Racing, because Sean was in his own little league up front. Sean was kept being in second and chasing on the heels of Sam Fontaine and Dalton and Dean. They were all just kind of like shuffling each other around. So he was up in their group. But there was a point where me and Travis and Blaine and Sean all were in the top 15, which means that almost one third of the top 15 was Down Under Racing. And then the other top third was KJD2, because they were all up there. I mean, maybe, I don't remember if Sutfind was up there, though. I think maybe he fell back. I think he did fall back. I apologize if this always becomes talking about Down Under Racing. It was just, that's what I can remember from my perspective, which was hazy as it is, because I wasn't, oh man.
You want to talk about hazy, man.
I was sweating like a pig, dude. Like, I was like, I hadn't, since I got sick, which would literally happen kind of like right around, I think it was that Tuesday when I was like starting to go downhill, and Wednesday I felt like crap, but I was like, oh, I got to do it. I put in all this work. I got to try. And I kept my VR set kept fogging up because I was sweating so bad. Oh,
I forgot you raced in VR. Yeah, that would be terrible.
I got out and I took my temp right away, and I was like 101. I was just like pounding sweat. It was just like, oh, it was so disappointing too. And like after all that work, and we were getting up there to kind of come away with, I don't want to say nothing, but basically nothing 2 weeks in a row. But I've been talking a lot. I should let my co-host talk a bit.
Listening to you talk, that's the whole reason I decided I'd help you out tonight. It's just, I was like, well, that seems like an easy hour and a bit of listening to Sammy ramble on.
Yeah, I do that. I do ramble. I gotta make up for lost time because of missing last episode. But I mean, overall, I don't want to say it was a bad race, because I don't think it was. I just think there was a lot of unfortunate stuff that happened.
Yeah, just some unfortunate stuff. Lukin's spinning, bringing out the first caution, just kind of brought on a whole pile of nonsense we didn't need. But everybody was calm. Everybody was cool. The boxing ring was fairly calm and concise afterwards. So I would say it was a good race from an admin point of view.
Tell you what, that has been one thing I'll admit for this season, having that off. I was like, all right, you know, you go figure that out.
I never heard anybody complain about anything. Everybody owned up to their cautions and nobody had a fight about anything. So I think as far as we were concerned, thumbs up.
Yeah,
good race.
I mean, before we get too far, congratulations, Dalton, on a good run. I mean, he was where he needed to be to get that dub. I mean, Fontaine and Peachin were duking it out the whole race.
I don't know if Dalton wins. I know Dalton he's a fantastic racer, but I think Fontaine had that track locked down.
And oh yeah, no,
some unfortunate business on a restart and possible wrong gear selection or some spinning tires. And Sammy Aspack's Peyton Johnson.
I mean, then the
and
which caution was
RPM
this?
Damage?
Because then there was also
it was on a restart. It didn't bring out a caution, but it was on the restart.
Okay, that explains it.
Sam, like green flag dropped. Peyton Johnson accelerated and either realized he was in third gear and tried to downshift, or just the old tires didn't hook up and they spun a little, and Sam just nosed into the back of them is what I saw. And then his truck was a little broken.
That's right, because he was falling back later.
And that's why he fell so far back from where
he
was.
The one who, you know, my heart bleeds for is, this seems to be his odyssey. And if you're listening, Sean, I apologize. Just seems to always find the most painful way to go out and do stuff. I mean, you'll have to tell me what it was like from the other side, Mr. Brewer Motorsports, but there was some contact between former teammates of the old Brewster and the Peachy Machine, because I think I might have to watch. I feel like Sean
washed up the track and hooked Brewer down, and that's what caused that whole huge kerfuffle that you guys were in, if I remember correctly.
I'll give Sean this. And, he takes no half measures. It doesn't help him.
It's all or nothing with Sean.
He was running a strong second or third all day, pounding in the laps, running like a front runner pace. And he's just like, man, this isn't enough. This isn't enough. Oh, you know, he's getting really upset. And all I'm thinking is, as I'm sweating my ass off in like 13th, I was like, Trey.
Not to die.
But I mean, like, that's his style. And I respect that he sticks to it. You know, that is his MO, is he's going to drive those wheels off and he's going to own it. But, I think I remember coming into three times into in four, he got loose. Cause I remember seeing him up ahead. Pardon me. That's going to happen once or twice. Loose once or twice, on that restart. And he was like losing ground a little bit. And I think he just felt like, oh, I got to make this happen now. And that's where he washed up into Brewer. But a tough break, because then that hurt the, you know, the whole down under team just kind of got caught.
It hurt everybody. Yeah. There was a lot of broken trucks but after that.
Again, sure. You know, that's just him being how he races, which is full commitment, full belief.
All the way, all the time. Yeah. Like you say, you have to respect it. You know, a little more patience and a little more off throttle time there, and we avoid all of that. But you know, that's racing, and that's what we're here to do. And I know, like Peach, and I get the red mist in front of my face, and sometimes when I see a truck in front of me, I have to pass it.
And again,
and there's nothing you can tell me that will make me wait.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where sure. I wish my truck wasn't damaged, but I get it. So I got to the end stages of the race, a lot of hurt trucks, but I mean, again, cautions breed cautions, but Dalton came away with a great drive and a solid win. I think it was, all things considered, a pretty classic Homestead race. Again, I'm not in the admin room anymore. I'm just a guy who turns left and talks on this podcast now.
You know what, Sam? I could show you a picture of the admin room. We haven't said anything in there. And I.
Oh, well, we lost him. Oh, he's back. Okay.
See what happens when you let me.
I was about
click
to say,
buttons.
I was like, this
in the Discord.
This felt power. like I was silencing you. Like you're like, oh, I'm going to say this. No. Then, you were gone. Anyway.
I joined the Oval Office chat in GLSR instead of looking at the typing.
But anywho, it's hard because I know that there are other very good racetracks that I feel like we've not gone to or could revisit again. But
ooh, there's lots. We should go back to Atlanta all the time.
I cannot figure out D-shaped ovals, dude. I know we're getting off on a tangent. I did Texas this morning. I don't get it.
My luck. I'm fast at Texas. I can be quick and I understand how to drive the track. It's my luck that has been terrible. I've been running top five every race and just dying in the most spectacular ways.
No, so
ways.
Slow. And like, and the thing is that Kentucky, I figured that track out. There was one race where I drove from like, I didn't qualify. I just readied to race and drove from like 19th or 18th to third. Could have had a shot at second. Like I got that track 100%. But no, I don't.
And Texas is like reverse Kentucky.
I can't figure it out. Anywho,
I'm having trouble.
We're getting off on a bit of a tangent here. Oh, here comes I think this is a beer burp. No, maybe no. Oh. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's a delicious beer. I'm very excited. It's my favorite Black Horizon beer. It's called Dune Shaper Blueberry Golden Ale. It's my favorite. Love it.
Dune Shaper Blueberry Golden Ale. I don't drink, but does it have like a blueberry aftertaste?
It's nice. It's real easy drinking.
I could probably enjoy like the first four sips of one and then I wouldn't want it anymore.
Okay. Anywho, what I was saying was Homestead is just one of those tracks that feels like I always want it. And this next track is the track I always don't want, but everyone else wants it.
Everybody's always, I want short tracks. I want short. We just love caution lines.
I feel, and this is not an insult, but like, I just feel like Bristol is, what's the word?
It's not a classic short track.
That's not what I was saying. Like, I'm not it is a classic short track. I think, but like, well, it's just, I feel like the level of threshold of talent you need to fully enjoy that track. And again, I'm not trying to drag anyone, cause I don't think I'm good enough for it. It's just a caution fest. So maybe not, but I just, and this is me talking a bit former admin E, where all I would think about when these tracks would come on the schedule was, how bad is the boxing ring going to be? How bad are the crashes going to be? How long is this going to take? Because I mean, it's funny because it's a 200 lap race, which sounds like a lot,
it is a long
but it's not. It's not, because we did a practice race. I hosted one. I think it was Thursday or Friday. I can't remember. It was later in the regular work week, and it was only me, Bondurant, and I don't remember who the other truck was. I can't remember off the top of my head. There was another truck. And it was just the three of us. So we had green flag laps the whole time. I did a little fuel saving just because I wanted to pretend to win. I did like 95 laps on one tank, which means like you could do that race in two stints. I mean, you wouldn't, but if you run green, it goes quick. We won't.
Well, not with that attitude.
I'm sorry. It's just, I helped make the schedule.
No, I understand completely what you mean. I also feel that my talent level does not stack up on tracks. Like,
I don't know
Bristol.
What you need to do. Yeah. And it's so confusing.
Yeah. I can go out there and run all the practice sessions we want, and I'm still not going to figure it out. I just can't wrap my head around how it works. And I'm more of a liability out there than I am an asset, but I'm going to just try and hide in the back and not die.
Yeah. It's,
and if we can do that, we should be okay. I mean,
now last season, you remember how my season went?
Yeah.
That was my best result of the year. Last season was Bristol. Doesn't make sense to me, but oh well.
Did you?
Yeah, that was the only reason I got a good result.
Make
yeah.
it to the end. There you go. That's all you have to do tomorrow.
Now, Jason, I don't know if you know this. You hold the fastest lap time at Bristol.
Like what?
Yeah, you have a negative 0.0001 lap time.
How is that
possible? I don't
possible?
Know. I got to talk to Travis.
Where do you find that?
I'm looking
that
at the GSLR website, and I went to. It's a mistake. Obviously, maybe you.
It has
yeah,
to be a
you
mistake.
Had
a no
negative
way.
Lap time.
A negative lap time. That's how fast I am. I did it in
so,
reverse.
So back to some of the stats, because it's like we're trying to figure out what to expect from this race. And carnage, one. Really just going to depend on how smoothly we can get this race rolling. It's just like, it's just an inevitability, because what you're going to have happen is it's really when those leaders finally come back around for the tail end of the field that the chaos really begins, because everyone's fighting for positions, and you can use the guy ahead of you as a pick or try and follow the leader with you. There's a lot of things that can go wrong quickly here, but overall, some of our past notable drivers here that we're going to have to keep an eye out for is fastest average lap time was Zach Allman, followed by Dylan Glass, Lucas Strayer, Jason Dalton. So yes, some of those names aren't here for this season.
I think Dylan might be back for this race. I know he's paid up and ready to play.
He's one to watch for then.
He's on maneuvers, and I'm not 100% sure if I remember his schedule, if he was going to be back
now.
He's
had
so.
A pole position here for Dylan Glass, led a lot of laps. And the yeah. other person who's the one of the other past winners that's still here is last week's winner, Jason Dalton. So there's a possibility that we could see Dalton go back to back. I actually would probably put him in my fantasy lineup. We're going to have to do that later in the show.
I would put Dalton in my fantasy lineup for
gonna
sure.
Have to pull that up to see who our preferred winners are. Preferred lineup. Excuse me. I'm getting all over the place. But yeah, Bristol is a tough one. I personally wish the Bristol we were going to was Bristol Dirt, but I that's next week. That's Knoxville, which actually I wouldn't mind. We can talk about a little later, but we got to save that for another show. But yeah, it's just going to be survival. Like, just who can hold it together the longest? Cause like, there's going to be that tier of guys who are going to be running up front, but even they seem to never be able to keep it clean because they're the ones that might have the first coming together of some accidents. So I don't know. This is almost more of a luck of the draw. I'm not going to say as much of as a super speedway, but these tracks, Bristol specifically, I just feel like because of the degree of the banking, the nature of the racing that happens. I mean, personally, man, I would have preferred a track like, and I might sound sacrilegious for saying this because that's who I am. I would have gone to IRP again. Cause I don't know those, if it's still deathy, but I don't know, maybe I'm remembering it with rose tinted glasses. I just feel like Bristol brings out a special kind of chaos that many other tracks can't replicate. Who knows? Maybe I'll be wrong.
Well, it's a track with no room for error. All it takes is one of us, and there's a bunch of us, like 37. And if one of us makes a mistake, and especially if it's up front, it's going to have repercussions all the way, because we're all going to be so close that the first mistake is going to be fatal for a bunch of people, I think.
Yeah, it's just about putting yourself in the best spot.
And then it's about not being in that, I think. But I have a sense of trepidation about tomorrow or tonight, if you're listening to this on Wednesday. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully long green flag runs, and then maybe a nice light caution for tires. Yeah. So we don't have to try and go in under green, because I don't know that I've ever seen a green flag pit stop at Bristol, but it can't be pretty.
Yeah, I mean, you'll lose a lot of laps doing it. So, I mean, I'll tell you what, if we get one green flag pit stop that like runs through, I'm not saying like, oh, the first group of guys go in and then as they come out, then there's the accident. If we get any green,
that's yeah, when the wreck
if we
happens.
Get any full green flag stops, I'll be chuffed. Like I'll be beside myself excited. So
I'd be pretty happy with that result.
It's a tough one though. Cause I just, again, this is my bias. This is me not understanding Bristol. I mean, again, if I was a guy who was fast at Bristol, then I'd be like, yeah, sure, bring it on every week. But
yeah, if I was Jason Dalton or Sam Fontaine or
yeah,
Sutton,
sure,
for sure, let's go. Could we race at Bristol all the time? I love this place, but I'm Jason Clark and I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, my favorite race, I've had some very fun races at Bristol. Did you do the MX5 or the Formula V's at Bristol?
I was there for the MX5s. The MX5, that setup just needed a little bit more tuning. And I remember Bondo and I were ripping the Highline in a Mazda Miata at Bristol, just flat out. It was hilarious.
No, the only other one that was completely wild that we did at Bristol was Formula V's. And the best...
Well, I missed that.
The best
one.
Part about was like with the Miatas, they were the just right speed where you could run the high line or the low line or whatever. Like it worked. But the funny part about the Formula V's is they're so small and slow. You could realistically stay, like make a pass, never using the banking, like staying on the low, low, low side and hugging the bottom as tight as you can.
on the flat part.
And like really try and get it as low as possible, because like you could get these crazy weird lines that we were running. I think me and JW Miller had a good battle going on that one. That's one I'd like to revisit as far as crazy ideas go. But Bristol, I know why we do it. I know it's a fun time. I'm not personally excited, but that's because that's not my normal speed.
Can I make an out of the box recommendation?
Tell me.
Can we do? We should do heats. I think we're gonna stick too many trucks on the track. I think heats.
I mean, personally, I love that idea, but there's a lot of. I mean, we got. I mean, you remember the flag we got?
But we do it on the dirt.
Yeah. We did it on dirt, and there was.
I think we're doing it
again. Yeah, there was the one season. You made
the schedule. No, you tell me.
It is heats for Knoxville. But there was the season where for Bristol dirt, because we felt that it was big enough that we didn't need heats. So we did it as a race distance. And then I remember we ran it as like kind of like a road course where, you know, there was like the competition caution halfway through, but that was like race end. And then we did a full track reset and went out again and then finished the race. Cause I remember, I think Dane Cruz was leading that race for the first part. And then something happened to him. Oops.
Hit the orange cone.
So yeah, like we've tried different, you know, ideas for the dirt stuff. I personally like that idea, but I bet there'd be people who wouldn't like it. I mean, of course there's not people.
Oh, I'm sure there'd be people who would.
I mean,
I just think, cause you know, like in my mind, I picture the track and I picture the leader taking the green flag and there's us, me and you in last place. We're still on the backstretch.
Look, let me double down on that. If we were going to do that, I would do it with a different track. I would go to Five Flags.
Ooh, because, there you go.
Okay, except for the part where Telder killed everyone on the start of that final. I remember we did do, it was the, what did I call it? The Beach Ball Derby. Where we did the trucks at Five Flags, and that was a ton of fun. And it was about 10, 12 trucks-ish we had on there at all the time. And it was a blast. It was like I know, you know, they put more than that on there with the real guys, but for us, that was a nice number. Shoot, some of my favorite races I can ever remember were heat formats. Lernerville, I'm getting another dirt race. That's still one of my all-time favorite races we've ever done, just for the pure absurdity of it. So yeah.
Was that the one?
That was the one with no wall. And the best part was, if you flew off on the back stretch, there's boats down there. No, that was one of my favorite races ever. Again, I love the absurd. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not in charge right now. So sure.
I'm not in charge either. Peachin's in charge. We put him in charge. It was a vote. He voted for himself. We agreed.
All in favor say aye. Aye.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, I like that idea, but that's my two cents. I'm sure there's someone out there who would very much disagree.
I'm sure there's a reason why it wouldn't be a good idea, but
somewhere
I can't
Travis Akavachi is screaming because he hates whenever we do that, because scoring it is hard for him because he has to do it manually.
Oh, it's a bunch of work. Yeah. The points. Well, if we do it on a race where Travis isn't going to be there, Peachy can do the points.
All right, there we go. Real quick.
I've solved all of the problems.
Eventually, I want to talk about what our fantasy picks are for Bristol. But there is one thing, total aside. This is left field, like just like a courtesy reminder, a courtesy statement. Hold on. I need a different voice for this. This is almost like a public service announcement. So I need something more like friendly. Hi, my name's Sam Barnes, and I'm here with a cautionary tale. If you haven't downloaded the Belle Isle set and bought the track yet, I would highly recommend that you do. It is a very difficult road course with walls everywhere, and the setup is demanding. So please do yourself a favor, download the set, buy that track, and don't look like a complete fucking idiot when we go to green flag at Belle Isle and you realize that the braking points for some spots of the track are so much farther before the markings because it's not meant for stock cars that you'll be like, oh, I should have braked by now. And then you're in the wall or on the back of someone else and you've ruined their race and they've worked really hard to prepare for this race. Seriously. Download the set, buy the track, start practicing. This I know this is counterintuitive to what I want because me personally, if you don't practice, great. That makes my life easier for getting a better result. But
we can't look bad when we go out there. Everybody needs to make it. Yeah. Like, two.
And let me think. I mean, you've got the one. Yeah.
I say that. And I probably,
I mean, you, I think you will, but no, seriously, guys,
I've been practicing my road racing.
Good.
So
good.
I drive a touring car now.
All right. You're going the way of the Sparling.
I am. I don't like the open wheel cars. It's scary.
God, those IR4s are fun though. Seriously, to reiterate one final time, it's going to be the hardest road course we do. I mean, it's funny. I don't think I can think of one that's harder than that. It's fun. It is fun, but it will test you. So, download the set, start practicing, even if it's a few laps here and there, just to get familiar with it, learn your braking points. And then once we get closer, I'm sure I'll be hosting some sessions and you can see what I'm doing. So
we're going to need like nonstop.
I'm sure that is
probably going to
be
now.
A busy, practice week.
That'll be a busy practice week. And I really do hope to see everybody out there. I know if there's a session up, I'll be in it, because this race scares me more than Bristol, because I am just not very good in a road car or on the road.
And it'll be a challenge. So I'm glad we're sending off Belle Isle on an awesome note. I'll miss it being a track that they actually go to. I'm excited that we're kind of doing our own little send off, but
we should look for some Belle Isle throwback paint schemes from some cars. That's
true. I've got a few to catch up on still. Anywho, I have no idea how long we've been talking, because usually we have a little timer going and I don't have one.
I turned the music on and sat here and listened to Sammy B and had a chat. It was a good evening.
Hold on, wait, what's the voice? You've been listening to Sammy B and Jason on the late night podcast. Up next, our picks for Bristol. Who do you? What is your driver? Anyway, for sure. I mean, he's expensive. $156. Like, he's the most expensive driver out there. So, I mean, it's a toss up between Dalton and Fontaine, just because Fontaine's Fontaine right now, and he's arguably the most consistent driver on the circuit. Dalton's hot, but he is $156. So that's pricey. I'll still splurge on him. So I would go Dalton this week, not Fontaine. Who else would be a good buy? I'm going to look for someone on the bargain side of the bin. You know who has been looking really strong and is kind of the low key, like he's been fast everywhere, but no one's really talking about it, is Cam Ingram. In practices we've done together, he's been really quick.
Quick everywhere. And just quiet, unassuming. I don't think he says much. I don't think I've ever heard him talk.
It comes few and far between, but his results speak for himself. So they do. Let's see. That puts me up to 272 with those two. I can go for someone in more in the middle. If you want a survival driver, a guy who always, granted, the last 2 weeks, he's had some issues, but that's because all of Down Under Racing likes to crash into each other. Blaine Sparling basically made his career out of the make it to the end type of drive. So I think he's a great buy just for this type of race. He's someone who always seems to find his way through. 137 is mid tier price. So I've got, I'm sitting at 409 still. So I can go. I mean, if I really wanted to, I could splurge and get someone like, I could still get Fontaine, I think. But let me see if there's any other value I can find. I would say pick Luke Knupp. I think his price doesn't reflect his value yet. He's had some unfortunate luck, but I know there's a lot of speed in there. And that still puts me at 511 with those four picks. I'm not sure who you would go with, but I think those four guys are quick and safer picks from what I can recall. A lot of them have good survival, which is what you're looking for in a race like this.
I'm going to follow along for some of it. I'm going to pick Dalton because Dalton. And I'm also going to take Fontaine.
Oh, he's going expensive.
It's an expense. Well, it's not too bad. Sam Fontaine. And then I went with Cameron Ingram because you have inspired me with a vision of Cameron Ingram. Solid, solid guy all the time.
And all right, then, well, that puts you at 420. So
surprisingly for me, I picked Telder.
Telder.
Because Telder is ridiculously good at Bristol, actually.
If he can survive. That's why I didn't pick him.
If he can make it to the front, well, I've got the rest of them to cover just in case. But I have faith in Telder. I'm good friends with Matt. We hang out pretty much every day in a Discord chat, in a different Discord there. And we're always racing and shooting the shit or watching YouTube videos. And I'm always watching him race. And he has unfortunate luck sometimes, but he is really good at short tracks.
Oh, I know this. This is all known. We literally just talked about the beach ball derby. Everybody knows and this. How he was pole position. Yeah. He's very good, but
off he goes.
Granted, yeah. As I'm saying this, somewhere he's going, "Oh, you keep moving into me," which is true. But I didn't go around pretending I was the best. So you know, there you go.
They're all in the Discord right now. Actually, they are racing. It looks like the Nürburgring. I don't know what they're doing, but they're probably having
probably
fun.
We hope they are. but man, I feel like for the two of us usually being very long-winded individuals, we were kept that pretty punctual. I feel like
I think we're doing all right. Only an hour.
We're under it.
We didn't even talk about music or anything. So you know,
yeah.
Life is good.
I mean, I don't know. We could meander for a little bit. I feel like. I mean, it's the two of us on a show. We actually stayed like on topic.
On topic.
How dare we
do that? Part. I'm gonna lock my fantasy picks in right now. Super early picks.
Early picks. Getting it done.
Very, very
Although,
early picks.
Night we'll need to keep an eye on the provisionals, and hopefully some of those still pan out. I've been thinking a lot about just the future races we've got coming up still in the calendar. You know, Knoxville's coming up. I think that's going to be a very different race. Just how that track will not act like Eldora. Again, that's next week's podcast. I can't get too ahead of myself. But the only other race I've been thinking about a lot, which is still pretty far away, we need to nail down all the details, or at least I got to talk to Sean about the flyer for it, is I'm still thinking about our 4th of July race. I'm thinking about Talladega with the 87s.
87s in Talladega. We're all going to die. Or at least I'm going to die.
It'll be fun.
You too. You're coming with me.
Probably.
I mean.
But no.
I don't really understand that car. I should probably practice how to go around Talladega. I think you have to lift.
Yeah.
You can't.
Well, the tire wear is pretty crazy.
Crazy degradation on the tire. I don't really. I own an 87, but really, I only drive it when you guys convince me that it's going to be.
Well,
fun.
I think.
Like the last time where we went to iRacing Super Speedway or whatever, is that where we went? Yeah, I got upside down like three times.
It's a classic move for you.
It was fun.
So, no, it's. I definitely feel like we're. This week is going to be. A tough week for a lot of people, but it could be the turning point for some guys who've had tough luck so far. I mean, both Daytona and Homestead took their toll on some guys that we know have speed.
Samuel
Fontaine. Also Sean Peachin. let me pull up standings real quick and I'll see.
I was doing so well at Daytona.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't make it eight laps.
The big one happened there up front, and I got punted by Evans. And I would have missed Bondo if Evans didn't punt me. Evans.
No. no, there's a lot of great names that are still sitting in the bottom 20 of the.
Yeah, just some unfortunate luck.
Brandon Alphen, Les Champ is down there. Drift is a competitive guy. I'm not going to say he's always getting out there getting dubs, but he's faster. Sean, Sam Fontaine, Blaine Sparling. I know William Calhoun's schedule's kind of been, so I know that he hasn't been there.
It's kind of like, it's a bit like a new league this season, too. What is it, 12?
Something. It's the
right? Like, a good chunk of the field is people that we've never seen before, and a very large number of us have spent the last 3 or 4 seasons just racing.
The one name that's driving me nuts right now, and I mean, respect, but it's freaking Robert Lukens. Like, I'm just like, I'm not mad.
Lukens out of nowhere.
He self spins.
Still spinning.
Brings
somehow,
out the first caution. And I'm not going to say ruins the race, but. Somehow gets a great fucking result at Homestead. And what did he get at Homestead? He got 10th. And then he was 2nd at Daytona. Yeah. So, man, Mr. Lukens is just like making things happen. You know, but there are really good names up here in the top 10. I mean, Dean's holding on the 9th. We've got Bondo in 7th, Sutphin 6th, April 5th, Cummings 4th, Dalton 1st. No disrespect to Jacob Black, who, I mean, was quick most of the Homestead race, finished 11th. So, I mean, hey, got the results. You got also newer guys there. Drayton Cook, Casey Duncan, Travis Agafachi sitting in 11th place, showing DOR how it's done.
Look at that. A couple of good races.
Too
for
bad
the boss,
he's going to get he's getting hitched and he's going to miss so many races because he's having the season of the season of seasons right now.
Man, when you look at the bottom, though, Peach in 26th, Fontaine 27th.
Sam Barnes 34th. 30th.
Calhoun 32nd. Tuckness is a quick dude. He's known in, I think, the opens and the fix. Tuckness is quick. He's had some unfortunate luck. I was part of that. Sorry again.
No, I feel like... This could be the turning point for some people. If they're gonna rebound the season, it's gonna happen at Bristol, which is a hard track to start kind of hanging your coat on because you don't know what's gonna happen. But I mean, Knoxville is still a bit of a gamble kind of race, and Darlington is no easy treat. Kentucky's a pretty normal track, but then you got Belle Isle, Vegas, more normal, and then Martinsville. So yeah, it's a challenging little.
Why do we do these things to
because
ourselves?
Because I love to torture you guys. This was my creation.
Dude, thanks. This was your last act.
I
as
had
an admin,
to mess with all of you guys.
Was to just. I don't know who did last season's schedule. I picked the worst season to be.
Blaine did that.
That was like the most Clark friendly schedule ever.
And that's why I wanted to do something.
Well, I know, but I love C-Fix.
But, like, I love, you know me, I'm always trying to mess with stuff. So, like.
I know, and that's why we're going to Belle
Isle. I mean, hey, it's going to be a blast. It is. And, hey, you know, everyone, it's funny, is we did Belle Isle, and then there are all these people that were mad about Red Bull Ring, which is really going to be, honestly, a very easy track. Like, it doesn't have a lot of turns, and it's huge.
I think compared to Belle Isle, it will be.
So, it's going to be a fun season. I mean, I know.
You should do another public service announcement about the Bristol set. The Belle Isle set. Because people should hear that twice.
Seriously, download the Belle Isle set. Buy the track. Start. Just try it. Just go out there. Do some real slow siding laps and start figuring out the track. Because it's unique and it's challenging and it's bumpy and there's walls everywhere. And no one wants to have a bad time. So it's going to be a fun race. I mean, I'm going to have fun, but I will further
guys like, yes, please.
Although I will also say that I think next week I will definitely be putting up as many sessions as I can for Knoxville, because that's going to be its own unique challenge too. Granted, it will get a little tougher for me because hopefully Friday. It is set Friday. Locking her down, getting a house, getting the keys on. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. COVID messed that all up, but we're still making it happen. So,
nice.
Boy, I tell you what, they better freaking send the race back to Chicagoland, because I won't live that far from it again. So,
yeah,
I drove by it today.
Oh man, I saw your picture.
So I just was like, more activity than normal around there. Granted, it's in a big shipping area, so it's like it is busy, but there's a lot more. I mean, usually there was only security at one of the gates, and now there's security at like a few of the gates. So. I don't know. We'll see. I always gotta be hopeful. So man, I told Sean we were gonna have a fun, lighthearted, silly episode, and then all we freaking did was stay on task.
I'm dancing in my chair right now.
All right, I feel so like we if that's lighthearted, all right, we gotta silly. Do something weird before we close up the show. We gotta do an old episode thing. We haven't done this since the soft reboot of Just Here for the JSLR. We need to ask each other three weird questions. What was your last dream?
My last dream? I honestly don't remember my dreams, so I can't answer. I couldn't tell you because I don't.
You don't remember any dream?
I don't remember any dreams. Because you get so high. That might be it.
Oh my god,
what was my last dream?
Nothing
comes to mind. You asked me like dream and like nothing, complete blank in my head.
What was your last dream? Having a recurring dream, but it's not a recurring dream. I'm having my dreams are recurring. I have a dream city in my mind that's this amalgamation of all these important locations of like part of my college campus and part of Chicago. And then there's like, you go up the hill and there's a part of Florence, Italy over there when I did my semester abroad. And then if you go around the mountain still, my old childhood house is behind that. So I feel like that's not really, I can't tell you exactly what happened in the last dream, but I know I was there in the, because when I was younger, it used to be a big shopping mall before I could drive. So I remember I would be a kid and I would always dream of this mall where I would just aimlessly walk around. It's like, it's not like being conscious. It's like, it's not like what, I don't know what the term is when it's like you are in control of your dream. It's not that, but I am aware that it's the place in my dream where I'm like, oh, I'm in the weird dream city again. That's interesting. I wonder where I'll go. So, enough of that tirade. I don't know. I can't remember fully what it was about. I think I was just driving around in my dreams. I do that a lot in my sleep. I always dream that I'm driving.
I've been told that I dream about work.
So houses?
Yeah. I probably yell out numbers in my sleep. My wife would be able to confirm or deny.
But, at least it's not someone else's name. Like, yes. Matilda.
No, it's probably 71 and three quarters. Half of that is
that's a weird name for a woman. 71 and three quarters.
71 and three quarters.
Hit me with something weird.
Well, it's not weird, but what was the last song you listened to?
Because
the answer might be weird. The question isn't, but you have weird taste.
Last song I listened to. I don't remember. Okay. I was shuffling my liked playlist, and it's an older song that I think I listened to a few years ago.
My liked playlist is also so long that there's ones on the bottom.
No. Okay, I know what I did wrong. I mean, the last song I was listening to on my Spotify was a song called Tropical Dinosaur by Kill Paris. But I know for a fact I was listening to YouTube, actually, and because it's not on Spotify. It's it's a band called Reggie and the Full Effect. Kind of a weird punk like not I wouldn't call them pop punk, maybe, but it's kind of humorous punk music. And it was, hold on, I know it's here somewhere. It was Reggie the Full Effect Greatest Hits 1984 to 1987, which I actually don't think is when that album came out. Like, I think it was one of those things like,
That sounds like a title.
Again, like, I don't think those songs actually came out in the 80s because I'm pretty sure it was the late 90s. Yeah. He's a strange guy. Strange guy, Reggie.
Good album title. Yeah.
So Reggie and the Full Effect, give him a listen. What are some other great Reggie and the Full Effect albums you should listen to? I mean, there's Greatest Hits, even though they're all songs that he like made at that time. Other good albums by him is Promotional Copy and Under the Tray. Personal favorite song is Megan 2K2, even though it's 2K3 now. What about you?
The last song I listened to? Oh, I'm listening to it right now. It's a funk cover by the Fearless Flyers.
Hell yeah.
The song from The Little
Mermaid. I know exactly what it did.
It's Under the Sea.
That is such a...
It's the funkiest cover ever. It's so good.
Oh, man.
Nate Smith on the snare, kick drum and the hi-hat, three-piece drum kit, and he makes it sound like seven-piece drum kit. It's...
What is my favorite song with the Fearless Flyers? Now you've got me... Kenny and the Jets. I love listening to...
Oh, Grace Kelly on the giant baritone saxophone, if you've ever seen the video for that one. The saxophones get progressively smaller.
Oh, fantastic.
Until there's a guy playing a little alto, but it's Grace Kelly, and she's a fantastic saxophonist. Plays with Leo P. Do you know who Too Many Zoos? You ever heard any Too Many Zoos? They're a brass band from New York.
No, I've never heard of it. Okay, but I do have a question for you.
YouTube that shit right now. Because that.
Hold on. If we're going to talk about fucking brass, have you ever heard of Moon Hooch?
No, but I want to now.
Here's the best part is these guys, I think it's like two saxophone players, but what they do is they find the biggest saxophones possible to play, and then they put.
Like big contrabass.
Yeah, like then what they do is they'll put a traffic cone in the bottom of it so it pitches it down even further. You got it.
They have played with Too Many Zoos. Well then, now I have to
look. Everyone, look up Moon Hooch. See, this is what I'm talking about. Hi, everyone. You're listening to the After Show with Sammy B and Jason. Yeah. We're no.
You could edit this part. You could edit this part into its own separate show. Because I bet you, if we got really started, you and I could trade songs back and forth for the rest of the night.
Oh man, I mean, did I ever tell Moon Hooch, man?
I'm in right now. I'm listening to some song called Number Nine.
That's a good one. I'll have to send you some stuff. No,
I'm excited for a contra bassoon saxophone, like this big giant.
You got to look up some. I'll have to send you one. There's one where they're in like France somewhere and they're stuck in traffic, and so what they do is they get out of their truck and they're just playing. Like they have the one guy walking backwards with like their phone recording them play, and they're just playing music walking through a traffic jam. It's fucking fantastic. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've really been listening to.
That is a giant saxophone. I'm just listening to the... I just found it on Spotify, but I can tell you that that's a giant saxophone.
You can look up their performance on the NPR Tiny Desk concert.
They played the Tiny Desk?
Yeah.
Well, then they're already awesome. Nobody who's not awesome gets to play on the
My favorite Tiny Desk concert is Thundercat. I think he's one of my... Honestly, one of my favorite music artists right now is Thundercat. Because
I'm sorry, hold on. I got stank face. I'm just grooving right now.
Jason's got stank face.
Oh, I love, dude, I just love the saxophone. It just.
All right, well, everyone, I hope you, if you haven't looked at Moon Hooch yet, then what are you doing?
If you're into brass, yeah, for sure.
Okay, here's a good question for you. Maybe I've asked you this. What's your favorite, like, I know there are different songs for different moods of driving, but like, what's your go-to racing song? Like, you're going to race and you want to have a song on in the background.
It's a song called Gemini by Merrick Harriman, I think is his name. It's like a deep house trance techno beat with a saxophone in that just gets me grooving.
See, this guy gets that.
What's the first song you listen to in a day? Is it just random every day?
Generally, it's whatever I've been like most current with. Like, again, my I am a hot mess when it comes to my music organization. So generally, whatever is like highest up on my liked music is
whatever is closest to the top.
Like, if there's something I'm in the mood for, I can go and find it. If I know that I'm like going to be doing something for a while, I'll pick out like an album. Did you ever listen to any of that weird? did you ever listen to the Sailor Wave 2 album I sent you? Or no, Sailor Wave 3.
I might have taken a listen to it, but if it was a bunch of loud electronic noise, I probably
It was probably that. Well,
I don't remember.
I don't know, but like,
I remember when we first started talking about music, it was like some weird stylophone, like Warman shit, theremin. It was weird stuff. But then we got into like, what was that song with the? It's on the top of my head. It's called it's a didgeridoo. You introduced me to the didgeridoo music.
Oh boy, I mean, there's a few. I mean, was it
you could fall down a rabbit hole of didgeridoo songs.
I mean, there's an Aphex Twin song called Didgeridoo. Maybe it was that.
I'm scrolling all the song had a didgeridoo playing in it. I'm literally scrolling through all the songs in my playlist.
Like, you I will find now. It. So, I don't know. You got to ask me another weird question, though. I know we've been on a good music tirade, but I'm sure you got something weird cooking in your brain.
Oh.
Oh, wait, no. You did ask me. You asked what was the last song I listened to. I have to ask you something.
What was the last? Yeah. Okay, let's do that.
What would... Boy, I just maxed up my mic there for sure.
Yeah, this mood hoot shit is really good. Sorry, that was off tangent again. Oh, but man. I'm just
what would be okay? Fine, we'll stay on music. What would be the song that would play to open a movie about your life? Like, what's the opening credits song?
Oh man. I don't know.
I'm hitting.
Maybe like, oh man, Meatloaf. Maybe Meatloaf. I would do anything for love.
What? Wow, that unexpected.
I love a power ballad, and I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Oh, all right. Oh man, I don't know what mine would be. See, like I hate when I ask a question and I don't have an answer ready when it comes back around. I don't think it's my favorite song ever, but I've always loved it as a song for an opening for a movie. Probably Mr. Blue Skies by Electric Light Orchestra.
Well, that was the opening to a movie.
Was it? Which movie?
Wasn't that the opening to a Guardians of the Galaxy movie? You haven't seen the Guardians of the Galaxy movies?
There's a lot of movies I've not seen. If there's one thing about me, if you name five movies, I've seen four of them.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't watch a lot of movies either, but I have seen Art of the Marvel.
Well, now
movies.
I feel like I have to pick something different.
I watch the tentpole features because everybody else does, and I have to be able to keep up.
All right, well, let's do one more and then we're gonna wrap up this show because I think we've thoroughly gone off the rails enough, but I feel like we get a little weird still.
What was that thing we do on Wednesdays again?
Polka. I speak to you.
Okay, I'm in. Let's listen to some polka music. I'm pretty sure if you went through my playlist, you'd find some polka music.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we've beat around the bush long enough. Thank you for indulging us. Me and Jason always have a weird show, and we stayed pretty true to the script. So I felt like we had earned some off script stuff. So.
Well, when you put two weird people in a room together, you get weird
results.
You
certainly do. So,
you know what's funny is I just scrolled past Mr. Blue Sky on my like friend.
See,
songs
now I
playlist.
Feel like I need to pick something different since it was actually the beginning song of a movie. All right, Shit. Now I need to pick something different because I can't live with that. What about, I don't know. What about my top songs 2021 Spotify playlist? One of those has to be good enough.
How many, there's a weird question for you. How many minutes of music did you have listened to on your 2021 playlist?
It was a good amount. I wonder how quickly I can find this and still trying to wrap.
I think I remember mine. It was like 86,000 minutes.
I think you did have more than me.
Stupid number like that. Like, but I listen to Spotify. Like, I told my boss the other day that I go to work to get paid to listen to music. And while I'm there, I just happen to build houses. But the main reason we go there is to listen to music.
Oh, yeah. I always have it on as I'm shooting.
Oh, it's as loud as possible on the job site. This morning, we listened to classical music for 5.5 hours. I put it on this epic classical playlist on Spotify. It started with In the Hall of the Mountain King, which is an epic piece of classical music, and it only got better from there.
Oh, man. I've got to find it.
But picture that in your head. Four Carpenters. Classical music.
Yeah, I mean, I could in my mind, I can imagine it. Oh my God, how am I not going to find this? You're driving me nuts. I wanted to wrap up this show. No, that's 2020. I listened to 87,013 minutes of music, and
that is a lot.
My top artist was Macross, 8299. So
mine was
hell back. Yeah. All right, you've been listening to Just Here for the GSLR. We are super fun. No, we are how self-aggrandizing. We're super fun. We have a lot of fun racing. We had a lot of fun with this show. Definitely different from the rest. I promise we're going to get some guests on soon. Hopefully have a more regular show, but I hope.
I put in my vote for Telder.
Maybe I'll miss that one. I don't know if I want to deal with the wrath of Telder.
I want it. As an admin, do I have any say?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Then Telder.
That's fine, but I don't know if I don't know. I want you to talk. I don't know Telder. If I can be on the same show. He'll tell me from limb.
It'll be funny. I'll come too. I bet you I could keep.
All right. Well,
check.
Maybe we'll have to make that happen. So I don't know. I was trying to wrap up the show. All right. I keep stumbling through it. Just remember, guys, we're okay. Just here for the GLSR.
See ya.